Welcome to Keith and the Girl. I'm Keith Malley.
I'm Chemda.
Quick announcement. Tomorrow is the Silent Trailers production meeting. Get your pass to the private meeting at keithandthegirl.com/tickets. That's where you help Chemda pick the movies that she's going to try and describe in the greatest game show ever made. Also, congrats to Chemda. OMAC Club is now running for 2 years, Chemda. Did you know that?
I can't even believe it. Yeah. I can't even believe it.
Happy anniversary.
Thank you.
Join OMAC Club for free. Try it out. See what we're talking about. For a limited time, use code FOCUS and get a week of OMAC Club. Lose your negative habits, turn them into positive results. KeithandTheGirl.com/OMAT, O-M-A-T. It stands for 1 minute at a time. Use code FOCUS, get a free week, check it out. Again, KeithandTheGirl.com/OMAT. Chemda, how was your Memorial Days? How was a little time off? You went camping?
Yeah, I don't like when you call it Memorial Day weekend or week or anything like that because
it promotes war.
Yeah, it's like, oh, I wasn't supposed to have a fun picnic and remember how great my life is. I'm supposed to remember slightly different things.
Right.
So, yeah, how was my allotted time off? It was lovely. It was lovely. Thank you for asking. We did go camping, Xerxes and me, and it's like one of my favorite things to do, right? Mm-hmm. But I think I forget every time. And as I'm getting older, I'm realizing like it's so much work. You know, there's the packing before and you got to make sure you have everything and you're deciding what you're going to eat, where you're going to sleep, like all these things for 3 days. And it's all going to be very inconvenient. And for some reason, it's fun. So by the time we get to the campground, we pitch the tent and everything. We're both sitting there like, I'm tired. Mm-hmm. This is hard. I'm like, oh, my God, it scared me. What if I don't like camping anymore? What if he doesn't like camping anymore? What if we've outgrown camping? And then like 5 minutes later, you're fussing with the fire and everything is just fantastic. You're staring at the fire for like 3 days. Wonderful. But here's what happens. You forget something. You always forget something. And because you're not that far away from home, we were exactly like 45 miles away, basically. It's like an hour drive.
Okay.
What did we forget? We forgot the weed.
Okay. What's the point, folks?
Sure. Well, you know, it is camping, so we can say that that is, oh, here comes weed right now. Thank you, Xerxes, because we know we forgot. So I'm like, that's okay. He realized on the way that he brought the whole kit, you know, everything to roll with, everything we need, and forgot to throw the actual weed into that pack. And I was like, well, don't we have those amazing edibles? He goes, yeah. Oh, I think we'll be okay. We have like a couple of joints to roll, and then the rest will be edibles. And I could see him like, he doesn't drive. He doesn't have a driver's license, which means I have to drive. And he knows I don't like driving, but I will do it for fun things. Now, his face is like, he's not showing it really, but I know him well enough where it's like, if I was driving, I would just turn this car around. Fuck, 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 fuck. And I'm like, if we turn this car around right now, we're going to get stuck in traffic. We left at this time for a reason. If we're still feeling this way after we get there, we're going to go back. Then as soon as we get there, I'm like, where are your medication pills? He forgot that too. We were already going to go back to weed. Now we have to have the medication that he takes off. See, this is the thing. You forget everything. We forgot pillows, you know, but it's like, it's camping, it's pillows. Then somebody's neck hurts. We have to go out and get a pillow. But anyway, we're going back for the weed and for the pills. So now it makes a little more adult sense. Okay, totally. Got the pills. What an incredible adventure camping is. As soon as you've set up, it really is comfortable the rest of the time if you don't mind being completely disgusting and full of your own filth, which I'm cool with. So we're having a nice time. We're seeing more animals than we used to. And I don't, you know, we've talked about this where during COVID, because people were away, the animals were a little bit more free to do whatever they wanted.
Like what kind?
Like nothing serious, more chipmunks. I saw a giant turtle this time. A lot more beavers. They're like a little more in the wild. More deer that are a little more close, maybe. No bears. They now have special bear things for the bears where they can't get the food out of the garbage. They have lockers for people's food and things like that.
They put up signs, people only.
Yeah, they do. This is for the band. You have to put your hand underneath because that's the one thing that the bear can't figure out, because they figured out everything. They know how to get into your cooler. They know how things open. You know, I know that in more rural areas, they know how to go into people's houses and open their fridge. So there's like a little bit more stuff for it. And we're seeing more raccoons. And we see this raccoon and, oh my God, a raccoon's so cute. No matter how big or small, they are adorable. Right. And it's like, okay, this one's coming towards our site, towards the fire. So we're like, eh, the fire's there. These animals know. This is a no-no. This is where you can get hurt. You know, wait until they're sleeping. Wait until they're gone. This one kept coming. We stood up. We're like, no. And it's like, no. And we're like, no, get out of here. And goes, all right. Sort of like shrugs its shoulders in a way.
What are you supposed to do if you see a raccoon? You act bigger than the raccoon or you play dead?
We have seen a bear on this site before, and it was like really close, where if it decided that it was done with us, it would have killed us. It was just a few feet away. And you are supposed to get big. We did exactly what we were supposed to do. I said, there is a bear over there. I'm putting my hands over my head because I am bigger than it and it needs to realize it. But just so you know, I'm scared to death, but speaking in this way should tell it that I am bigger and I am stronger. The bear turns to us, thinks for like what seems like an hour, but is probably half a second, and then walks away. So we're okay, you know, I'm all right. But now this raccoon is heading towards our tent. I'm like, this is, it doesn't seem like it's floating around and just landing anywhere. It is going towards the tent, but it's like, okay, that's the only other structure that it can go to, you know, that it could look through. It goes towards the zipper. I'm like, this, they know. You could see it's going towards the zipper, and I wanted to see if it could open the zipper. But of course, if we do that, it'll just be in our tent. We shoo it away. It goes behind the tent, then plays a sort of weird peekaboo hide and seek with Xerxes. Like, are you still there? Oh, you are? Okay. I'm not, you know, and it goes behind the tent and then leaves. We were like, that's really weird. It was getting really close. Like, it wasn't shooing away
you
fast.
You think it's scoping it out to tell its friends?
You know what? It did. Because a few minutes later, I'm like, what's that sound? There's a rattling noise. Where are your pills? I'm like, get the fuck out of here. Someone's in our tent with the pills. We see a raccoon at the tent. It went in the tent, grabbed anything. So whatever was there, took a, what was it? Blood pressure medication. No, cholesterol medication. Okay. And started running with it.
Wow. That's funny.
It's so not funny. It was so scary, but it was so funny. And now we're like, I can't run because my knee is still fucked up from the injury. Right. And so he's like kind of chasing a raccoon, like, give me back my pills. The raccoon drops it because it's too hard to hold on with his little hands and run. So he got the medication back. Then he keeps coming around. He's like, listen, guys, it's dark. Usually you folks are in your tent and we're scavenging.
Right.
And we wouldn't let him do it. And so it kept coming around. It was like peeking, went on the picnic table. It went everywhere. It just is whatever. But just went in the tent. So we're like, oh my God, I know that it figured out how to, like, it went for the zipper. It knows where the zipper opened. It probably broke it. It opened it a little bit because it didn't open all the way. It could slink through even the smallest hole. So we're like, what do we do with this? Here's a hot tip that I'm sure a lot of people already know, but you should know if you're a new camper, which we are not.
Rent a building.
Yeah, get a hotel room. Put your zipper opening on top because they can't reach that. They have to actually make friends with a bear and talk to each other, figure it out. But yeah, we put the zipper on top because now I'm thinking they really do know how to open this and they're going to open it in the middle of the night. Xerxes opened the tent and was like, well, it doesn't look like they went on our bed or anything, you know, but you know, the tent is like only so big and the pills were right next to the bed because everything's right next to the bed. And then I'm like, I'm sorry, I don't want to tell you this, but there are paw prints on the bed. So we took a picture. We'll see if it comes out. We'll post it. If it looks, I'll post whatever camping pictures we have on Reddit and on this show thread, but holy shit.
Who's hearing anyway, this now? Is and great. Is like, I knew not to go camping. You know what I mean? I didn't know animals can undo zippers.
I hear you. I hear you. And it's like, if you're going to go camping, I wouldn't suggest going for the first time with like another person who doesn't know how to camp. There's so much equipment and so much stuff. Like, you got to go with someone else. Otherwise, you're going to be upset. But I'll tell you this. we've had edibles that now we're buying from actual stores. So the milligrams has to be real. And it's no longer a drug dealer that you're just like, please meet me at whatever time is convenient for you. And then tell me that whatever you're handing me is whatever you want to say. Like, there's been times where we bought and we're like, how many milligrams is this? Or like, what kind of strain is this? And they go, it's hot fire. I'm like, Oh my God. And so it's hot fucking fire. That's how you sell shit, but it's illegal and you're just buying shit.
I don't think we're at a place where the milligrams make any fucking sense. And I told you that one time I took, you know, some of that rope and I took 60 milligrams and I'm like, all right, let's take a little more, 120. And I got my PM confused with my AM. I didn't know, you know, what was happening. That's what I did this week. I did the edibles and I'm popping 100 at a time. And I'm like, no, it's different. And it's not taking. And a 5 milligram thing would have took more than 200 milligrams of whatever the fuck. I don't know what these numbers are, because now I see a pack and it says 1,000 milligrams. So that means 100 each piece of, you know, of 10. And I'm like, So the regular person is just popping 100. I don't know what it means and I don't like it. And this new future isn't working out.
I have to say that the more bodega-y looking ones, yeah, I don't trust their milligrams yet. Especially because it's saying 1,000 milligrams, which is so much. But there are the ones who are checking ID at the door, who are actual weed places, and theirs are way, 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 way more accurate at right now because they are setting up to be legal places where these people are still kind of on the DL. They're not saying anything really up, you know, in their store. They're adjusting more slowly. These other people are going to be the dealers. Anyway, this hot fire shit, this real live from a store where they were like, this is going to be more than the usual amount. It really was. I was tripping. I was going on trips in my head. Every once in a while, I would turn to Xerxes after a bunch of quiet and go, and he goes, tell me. And I don't remember anything I said, but I thought it was the smart. I like figured out everything. It was amazing. And I knew that I sounded like just some, you know, high whatever. And I was like, yeah, if it makes any sense or if it's that much of an epiphany, he'll remember it and tell me later. But most likely it's just me tripping on things. But all of a sudden I tripped on my mother, thinking of my mother. I just started crying. I'm like, she went through so much. I went through like her whole trip. And I'm like, the things that she saw, she did her best. I'm like bawling.
But it's gone when you're sober, right? Like you didn't think you had the collar, right?
No. And I always know this about, you know, we know this about our parents. They did so much. They came so far, especially from where they came from, especially my parents who moved from country to country, you know, who were like always immigrants. And so I know what she went through, but every once in a while, it hits me again. And yes, I guess I could fall into like, why aren't we talking? I'm like, I know why we're not talking.
Right.
Yeah. But wow.
Well, I'll say this. First of all, happy Pride Month, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still an ally. I hope everybody knows that. Probably one of the best ones, honestly. Because LGBTQA+, I know what all these things are. That's a big thing. Lesbians, big supporter of lesbians. Gay, very happy. Very happy that people can be out there and be themselves. B, I think that stands for bye-bye, coppers. You're not marching in my parade because you have a bad attitude. The T, trans.
All right, where are you going for this information?
I'm just saying how, if Citibank can do it, I can do it. And I just want to say congratulations and be yourselves out there. And I know what I'm talking about. When I dated on my profile, I said, I'm fine with the trans women. You had to pick an extra box to do that. And I did that. Now, it come to act like it's not a big deal, but no one else did it.
It's not. Chemda's not acting like it's a big deal. Chemda's acting like you want way too much credit for this.
I think it's important. It's of note.
Yes, allies are the most important.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Questioning. Nobody really. What does that Q stand for?
Are you questioning anything?
I'm like, what are all these other letters? You know. So I'm questioning that. And then A+. I'm like, yeah, you're gay. A+. And those are all the letters. And I hope everybody has a good month. And then we'll never talk about it again in July. Okay. But right now, go out there, be yourselves, and congrats on everything.
Okay. We tried that. We tried it like, hey, let's, it was suggested. Let's have an LGBT, month here. Let's get all the queers as guests. And I'm like, oh, that always feels weird to me. You know, like right. There's a African American History Month. There's Women's Month. And it's like, shouldn't I be calling you specifically on these other months? Because you're going to be so busy. You're going to have to say no to some things that you would say yes to because people must have you in their lineup for this month. And it always felt weird because it's like, hey, we're celebrating Pride. I swear I would have you on any other time, but since you're queer, would you mind?
Well, what we're going to do is every guest we have on this month will be gay or queer, but we're not going to make a big deal out of it. So we're actually outing some people, but you, the listener, will know. Okay. So that'll be exciting to be part of.
I always think there's so many more queer people than non-queer because the spectrum is so huge, because there are so many letters, because, you know, all it takes is like sometimes one experience and you're considered a queer. So I think like the straight, like all I am is straight, and there's not like, and I'm cisgender and all this stuff. I think that there's a lot less of you guys than this alphabetical system we have.
So, okay, so what's the hang up? I'm the minority. All right, get over yourselves. There's less of me.
Well, I guess what this month is about is to let you know there's less of you. Just so you know, we are mightier than you.
Jada Pinkett Smith said on Red Table Talk that she has the deepest hope that Will Smith and Chris Rock will reconcile after the infamous Oscar slap. This is what happened when I was in school and the teacher would see a bully picking on me. Guys, work it out. And I'm like, yes, sorry. I just wanted to take a couple of hits to the face, you know. Chris Rock did nothing wrong, but hopefully they both can figure it out.
I hate that too. It's so, I think I said something deep, but really I'm trying not to talk about it, and that's fine. You don't have to talk about it. You certainly don't have to talk to me about it, but when you pretend like you're saying something, but you're really just, you want people to be satiated with, okay, she said it, but yeah, you're right. What did Chris Rock do?
And if he comes on this Red Table Talk, he'll probably look like an asshole to so many people if he doesn't bring up the alopecia joke was too far.
Oh my God. He can't, he can't come on that show.
Then don't go on. Right. Exactly.
Are they inviting him? Yeah. Did they invite him before, or he needs to be slapped first?
It's like, you know, Pride Month, you know, you should have invited him other times instead of just when you got slapped.
That's the thing. He's like a huge get. It's not like they're doing him a favor or anything. So
she said these two intelligent, capable men have to have an opportunity to heal, talk this out, and reconcile. The state of the world today, we need them both. And we all actually need one another more than ever. Until then, Will and I will be continuing to do what we've done for the last 28 years, and that's keep figuring out this thing called life together. Thank you for listening.
I don't know. I'd be more satisfied with, it's none of my business. I know it was my name, but I didn't react, so stop asking me. That would be more, I don't know, real? I guess
he's still worrying about life. How about the book, Everything I learned in Kindergarten? How about start with there and the chapter on hitting people? It's real short. It says don't be hitting people. But no, you get and you know, during that show also, she talked about alopecia and how women do struggle with it. And a woman killed herself after she found out all her hair was falling out. It's like, well, you're really paddling this on Chris now, aren't you? You know. Oh, well.
Yeah, alopecia sucks.
BetterHelp. That's where you can begin the healing. How about that? This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's online therapy. I use it. Hemda uses it. I'm a fan. Life's overwhelming. People are burnt out. You see it, right? They don't even know it. Maybe it's happening to you. Maybe you have lack of motivation. Maybe you're feeling helpless or trapped. Attachment, fatigue, All this kind of stuff. This is what's going on.
If you're a human being,
yeah,
and you don't associate with any emotions, where you're like, I'm not sad. It's like, okay, then what are you? If you don't know, or if you're just happy, there's something up, and you have to figure out what it is.
Keith and the Girl listeners get 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/KATG. That's betterhelp.com/KATG. Yeah, people are losing their mind. They're slapping people at the Oscars. You know, everybody's losing their mind. Bill Cosby is facing an allegation again. He's out of prison now, of course, but it's from when he raped a 16-year-old in 1975. At the Playboy Mansion. Let's see. Nearly a year after, the 84-year-old was released from prison. Now he has to take care of another case. This happened in 1975. She was 16, like I said. The case, this article reads, is one of the last reclaiming sex-based legal claims against the comedian. How many more are there?
No, there's... Who's saying it's the last one? It's the last one.
Just this newspaper article. The case, one of the last remaining sex-based legal claims against the comedian. Cosby is not expected to testify or attend the trial. Cosby's attorney said, we are confident that the evidence will discredit the plaintiff's 50-year-old allegation.
He doesn't have to go to trial?
He doesn't have to, I guess. Maybe they talk it out and then he has to show up, maybe. You know.
Okay.
The Johnny Depp and Amber Heard defamation trial reached the end.
Really?
Yes.
Turns out they should not ever see each other again, probably, right?
The jury awarded Depp $15 million in his libel suit. They also awarded Heard $2 million in her countersuit. So he was bad, but not $100 million bad, $2 million bad. And she was bad, but not 50 million bad, 15 million bad. Okay.
Oh, my God. They have to pay each other now?
But it's understood that, you know, we like Depp again and we hate Amber Heard. That's the way society takes it. You just tell me who won or lost and, you know, people get on board. Depp put out a statement. False, very serious and criminal allegations were levied at me via the media, which triggered an endless barrage of hateful content, although no charges were ever brought against me. And the 6 years later, the jury gave my life back. I am truly humbled. From the very beginning, the goal of bringing this case was to reveal the truth, regardless of the outcome. Speaking the truth was something that I owed to my children and to all those who have remained steadfast in their support of me. I feel at peace knowing I finally accomplished that. The best is yet to come, and a new chapter has finally begun. Veritas numquen perit, truth never perishes. And she said, oh, fuck off. She said, the disappointment I feel today is beyond words. I'm heartbroken that the mountain of evidence still was not enough to stand up to the disproportionate power, influence, and sway of my ex-husband. I'm even more disappointed with what this verdict means for other women. It's a setback. It sets back the clock to a time when women who spoke up and spoke out could be publicly shamed and humiliated. It sets back the idea that violence against women is to be taken seriously. I believe Johnny's attorney succeeded in getting the jury to overlook the key issue of freedom of speech, I'll remind you, and ignore evidence that was so conclusive that we won in the United Kingdom. I'm sad I lost this case, but I'm sadder still that I seem to have lost a right I thought I had as an American to speak freely and openly. It sounds like what the big issue was... Even if you heard about, you know, throwing bottles and shitting in beds, the big issue was she isn't supposed to talk about him after a UK case, but she talks about violence against women and how she had to deal with it. So you are talking about Johnny Depp. You're not just saying his name. So the jury had to say, all right, look at these two sections of this op-ed piece that she wrote and tell me if she's defaming Johnny Depp. And the jury was like, well, of course you are.
Was his name in it?
No. The seven-person panel was weighing whether Heard defamed Depp when she wrote in an op-ed in 2018 describing herself as, quote, a public figure representing domestic abuse. In one passage that the jurors had to look at was, quote, 2 years ago, this is Amber Heard writing this, I became a public figure representing domestic abuse. I felt the full force of our culture's wrath. Second section is, I had the rare vantage point of seeing in real time how institutions protect men accused of abuse. The jury had to consider whether each of these passages were about that. Well, obviously were. And that seemed to be the big thing.
Wow, that's... Wow, but she didn't name him.
Right.
That sounds unfair. This is the thing. I'm so hesitant to say anything about this trial because I was not anywhere near it. So I'm only hearing clips. It's too hard to follow with the shitting right. in the bed and ugh. Anyway, but
I DM'd her though. I DM'd her because she's probably feeling low right now. Now's the time to strike.
But you can't say you had this in your past without mentioning the name. That's not fair.
Mm.
That's, I don't know. That doesn't seem fair at all. Even though we can come to that conclusion, that's a piece of history that she wrote that doesn't have to always tie to Johnny Depp, except for now that he made it clear this is who she's talking about. So in a way, he solidified that. That sounds really weird.
Someone saw our friend Craig Klein in a restaurant, this older lady, and she believed that he was Johnny Depp. And I'll put the picture on the website. You know, Craig has, you know, all the scarves and the hats and the accoutrements that looks like, you know, some kind of Hollywood artiste. But she's like, oh, I'm not Johnny Depp. And she's insisting, like, I know, wink. Let's take a picture. I'll put it in my beauty salon.
Oh, my God. That's awesome that she insisted.
She insisted. she kept on talking about my public divorce and winking at me. I go, she knows the ins and outs, but she won't say how. But she gets it. And Craig texted, you don't know how right you are.
Like, oh, my God.
Like, I'm looking to say hi. No, well, you know, because we're on TV every day. I know. Just, I know. She's a bitch.
Oh, my God. Wow.
Yeah. I think he should have put his hand up like, you know, like he was going to hit her, but wink at the camera. Kind of like Tyson when he takes pictures. He shows the fist and it's funny.
Oh, my God. First of all, you know, Craig's a handsome man.
Mm-hmm.
He does not look like Johnny Depp.
I think he even has mannerisms like Johnny Depp. I think Craig was so enamored by Johnny Depp at a young age. I think he started, he kind of does, I think if he runs, you would think you're watching Pirates of the Caribbean.
Okay. I haven't seen either one of those people run, but I think he also has like a Steven Tyler vibe.
Yeah.
You know, like it's just the Scarf Nation, you know?
Yeah. No, he's Steven Tyler's mic stand for sure.
That's true. There was a book I read, actually. I mentioned it on the show a few times, Six Pillars of Self-Esteem by Nathaniel Brandon. And in the middle, like he's talking about, you know, self-esteem, where we're getting it from your childhood, like how you could tie this into what you could do to get out of it. And then he drops information about his personal life. And I'm like, oh, this is so juicy. You know who he dated for a very long time? Like, I think 2 decades. Ayn Rand.
Hmm.
Okay, so now he's talking about her, and apparently he was really young, and he's talking about how she ended up being, you know, how do you, basically like the top, like she, I don't know how to describe it, but he was kind of saying how she's a control freak in a way, and like, you know, if it wasn't her idea, it wasn't really that important. Like things like that. Like
the Seven Pillars of Self-Esteem, the book?
The six Pillars of Self-Esteem.
Oh, my.
And he talked about how his self-esteem, you know, kept him in this relationship with Ayn Rand.
Yeah, somebody should have told me this book was more gossip.
Yeah, well, it's a little bit. And then apparently he wrote a whole book called something like Dating Ayn Rand, or like very, very obvious. So she must have been like completely cool with this.
Right. I'm reading, by the way, the licensing company that controls Elvis's name and image, has ordered that Las Vegas chapel operators start using Elvis in their ceremonies.
Aren't they?
They've, you know, you have all those different Elvis, you know.
Impersonation.
Elvis's team is saying to stop it.
Oh, they're saying to stop doing it.
To stop doing it. That's our bread and butter, says the person who operates Las Vegas Elvis Wedding Chapel.com and the Little Chapel of Hearts with her husband. I don't get it. We're just hitting our stride again through COVID, and then this happens. The city's wedding industry generates $2 billion a year. Well, it's, you know what? Elvis fucked 14-year-olds, but he took marriage very seriously. And we don't need you making a mockery of that.
Did he, Elvis? Like in his adulthood?
I'm just saying. Who gives a fuck? happened.
You know what I'm seeing? I'm seeing like something is happening in the Elvis world, you know, that biopic is coming out, yep. right? Mm-hmm. And so I'm wondering if they're like something about coming back for the money or something. Why all of a sudden are we hearing right. about Elvis?
Maybe you have nothing to do too. Maybe you're in charge of Elvis's estate, so you're a millionaire and you're just bored. And like, you know what? We should stop.
I guess. Or maybe it's like, hey, this movie's going to come out and then all these other Elvises are going to do good. And then you're like, you start cleaning house. But I would say if you're getting married by a pretend Elvis in Vegas, I don't know, make sure you have the address to the annulment next door.
Right.
Like, what? Mm-hmm. What is happening? I can't believe how easily people can get married in this country and what a fucking bitch divorce is.
Yeah.
I cannot believe it. I get it. Like you have houses, you have kids or whatever, but it is very interesting that you can go and have someone sing you an Elvis song and you're married. And I think that that same person should be able to sing you into your divorce as well. And then I also thought about it because recently we were talking about like, how do people buy houses? A lot of times, especially in the United States, it's generational wealth, right? So like, oh, you get married and your parents put like the down payment on your house or something. It's pretty common, I think, for people who have some money. And I was thinking like, why are they giving it to them when they're married? That's two adults, like mm-hmm. making a decision. They're not 18 anymore. They're not children. Like people used to get married so early that you really needed to help them because it was their first apartment, their first everything. But now they're getting married with like reason and thought and like a house together and they already maybe even live together, like all of this shit. I say if you're a parent and you're going to give them a down payment on the house, give it to them when they're getting a divorce because they have nowhere to go. It's like, hey, I'm getting divorced. Okay. Go find another
right.
house.
Right.
And then make sure it's close to your kids and make sure it's like this, that, and the next, you know, like if you're a parent, help after they get the divorce.
You say, hey, Your Honor, we met at a Elvis chapel. Okay.
Right.
Annulled. Goodbye.
Yeah. Or I still stand by this, which we talked about even like throughout the years. Do it like it's a driver's license. My driver's license can expire if I don't tend to it. My marriage should expire if I don't tend to it. Tend to your marriage. Go renew it for free. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because,
after a year, they check up on you. They go, what's her favorite nail polish color? You know? And if you have no clue, you're on notice. Speaking of style, let me mention this. Rothy's. I'm talking about Rothy's shoes. I'm talking about style. I'm talking about comfort. I'm talking about washability. Throw them right in the fucking wash. They get washed. They dry. They still look nice. And by nice, I mean you can wear these to fancy events, these shoes. But still, you can throw them in the washer, though. What?
Yeah. You can not only wear them to fancy occasions, you can also wear them camping. Because no matter how dirty your shoes get, you throw them in the wash. And they still look like shoes.
Your new favorite shoes are waiting for you. Discover the versatile styles you can wear absolutely anywhere and get $20 off your first purchase. Rothys.com, Rothys.com/Keith, because I'm giving this to you. Rothys.com/Keith, $20 on your first order. Honestly, why they do stuff like that, if you're like, not KATG, it's because so many people love the fucking shoes, they got to go, wait a minute, let's change the code and see if people are still, you know what I mean? Right. Is this kind of some kind of scam? Did they put their code somewhere they shouldn't have or something? So they got to challenge you again. And guess what? Guess they're going to be running out of words soon because people gobble these up. Rothys.com/KEITH, Keith. All right. I'm reading this article. It was a somber and bloody Memorial Day weekend. At least 14 mass shootings over the United States over this past couple days.
Mm.
14 more. Good.
This is also a good thing about camping.
Yeah.
You're not near any of this.
Since
news.
Since that elementary school shooting, there's been an average of two a day. It's interesting what the media reports on. It's like, well, I can't bore you. Let me wait. Now you really got to up the game. You got to find younger and younger and more. You have to have some egregious story, like cops didn't have the balls to go into a school to get our attention. You know,
there's actually no stories even the day after, pretty much. You know, it's right. Like, hey, this happened, and no one's really talking about what are you doing about that. They say like they're going to arm the teachers, they're doing drills, but is that their solution, or are they still pretending to look for something else to do?
No, they're saying teachers should have guns, which is fucking ridiculous. Think about your
That's
teachers.
That's so crazy.
You know, I know I tell it as a joke, but if all the teachers had to buy an instrument, I bet you all of a sudden when there's a surprise concert, it's gonna suck. Ken Krantz, right. A comic, he wrote on Twitter, why don't make teachers learn how to crash land airplanes while you're at it?
Right.
I'm sorry, but I think they should just teach. That's what I think.
So think about who decided to be a teacher. It's not always like the person who's shooting on the weekend.
Right.
You know, I was considering being a teacher when I was younger. It was either a teacher or a therapist, but something like that. And I don't want to have a gun.
Right.
That's nowhere near what I want to do with myself. I don't know. Would I have shot this raccoon?
If you're 24 years old, you can't rent a car, but you've been eligible to have an AR-15 for 6 years. Think about it that way.
Oh my God. Speaking of which, we went to Walmart, because when you're upstate, there's Walmart.
Yes.
And I'm looking around. I'm like, my mind is blown every time I'm in a Walmart. I'm like, they really have everything.
Yeah.
I forget the one section they didn't have. I don't know. And Xerxes is like, but we can pick up a gun. You can buy a gun.
Yeah.
I was in a Walmart. They have every kind of Snickers, every size of Snickers, every kind of Kit Kat, every kind of towel, every kind of like aisles and aisles. And then you could just pick up a gun.
Yeah. Yeah. Doctor's office was one of these places that was just shot up. A couple people killed, of course. Yeah, they went in, I'll take an AR-15 type gun, and they go, okay. And they just walked into the office and started shooting. Somebody pointed out, I see this guy, Ryan Trout. The biggest change America has seen regarding guns in the last two decades, the emoji. They changed the real-looking gun to the squirt gun.
Oh, my God.
That's how far we've come.
Oh, my God.
So, at least something happened. In Texas, there's no cap, of course, on the number of guns you can own, but you are not allowed to have 5 or more sex toys. It's an obscenity charge.
But 5 or more sex toys will get you to not want to shoot your gun.
Right. Yes. The state bans the promotion or possession with intent to wholesale any obscene material or devices, including artificial vaginas. That's where you put the stop to it. A Georgia couple spotted with a one-week-old deer in a dog food aisle at a Georgia Walmart was cited for state wildlife officials for illegally owning a fawn. The man was seen pushing a shopping cart as his wife held the tiny deer in the store. Yeah, you can't walk around with a deer. You can shoot it.
Right. You can leave it there. You can gut it. You can eat it.
But please, don't
can
walk.
Can you check it out the door, please? Come on.
I don't want to see you making it smile. All right, I got more fashion advice for you. You ready for another one, Kenda?
Mm-hmm.
This is a new sponsor, I believe. Jenny Kane. Jenny Kane. They have great beds for your house. They have chairs that are fancy. Pillows and throws. Dinnerware and serveware sets. Candles, slippers. Upgrade your life. Take a look. See what I'm talking about.
This has been happening a lot also during COVID, is people are so much in their home that they're finally stopping to procrastinate and changing it to be the environment they really, really want to be in, because they're in all the time. So if you're feeling like this, if you want an upgrade, if you want to, like, you know, sometimes adding a throw pillow changes your couch, that kind of thing.
Yeah, that's what this is saying. How does each piece, whether it's a candle, throw, or sofa, make a room feel complete? It really does. Just do a little upgrading. I'm seeing these houses. Come on, guys. Get 20% off all furniture and home decor, plus early product access, and much more with a JKH membership. Join at Jenny Kane, JENNI, because remember, I'm important. J-E-N-N-I, Kane, KAYNE.com/membership, okay? Or go to JennyKane.com/home to create the space that you'll never want to leave. All right, Jenny Kane. You'll see what I'm talking about. You'll love it. Speaking of movies, Hemda, number one movie, of course, Top Gun Maverick.
Oh, it's not Bob's Burgers?
It's not Bob's Burgers, believe it or not, but...
Really, Top Gun, when all of our schools are being shot at, Top Gun is number one. Okay, America, not Bob's Burgers. A nice story about some beautiful kids.
They are cute, aren't they? I did see the movie. They're sweet, right? Is that how you describe Bob's Burgers?
It's a struggling family that is just sweet. They're up to mischief, of course, but they're right. Sweet.
Are they always, like, is the restaurant always going to go under or something?
Yes.
Yeah? Surprise. Spoiler. Okay.
But that's, it's a TV show and that's basically the premise. So yeah. I haven't watched the movie, but I want to.
Number one, Top Gun. Number two, Doctor Strange. Number three, Bob's Burgers. Downton Abbey, number four. Number five, a cartoon, The Bad Guys. And then number six... Everything Everywhere All at Once.
We're up. Is that good news for a small thing?
That's good news. They're up to $56 million. That's good for them.
How far do small movies usually make it up this ladder?
They don't. They don't.
Guys, thank you so much for going out to see this movie. I swear to God, it's as if I made it. I want to see it a third time in the theater. It's such an experience in the theater, which I've never felt before. And it's not like it's in a good theater. It's not like it's surround sound. It's not anything, but it's you're sitting and watching a movie. You're not doing the dishes. You're not distracted. You're not even smoking. You're not doing it. You're sitting and watching the movie. And this movie really needs to be watched. I know that I keep mentioning it like it's my movie, but this is my movie. It's wow.
People seem to be loving Top Gun, and I think it's one of those, people just love nostalgia.
Sure.
The movie started, and I thought somehow I'm on some special double feature in that I have to see the first one. Because they made it grainy deliberately. They threw all the songs right in the beginning. You see the montage of, fighter pilots going into the air, and I'm like, this looks so familiar. And people are just like, I remember that. Yay. And on Rotten Tomatoes, what the score is? It never changed from when the score first came out to now, over a week later. 97% by critics, 99% by audience members. I don't believe it. That it never changed 1% every time I checked, because I kept checking. I was so shocked. 99% for Top Gun. I mean, I know the first one's a classic, but that got 83% from people, the first one, and 55% by critics. I think Tom Cruise is doing some Scientology shady something. There's no way this... I mean, think about it. Top Gun. No offense, but think about it. 99%? Get the fuck out of here.
I totally hear you. I totally believe the Scientology weird shit is happening and always is. And it is definitely a cult that helps... a lot of the members achieve greatness, especially in Hollywood. Absolutely. I believe all of that is true. But the nostalgia thing, I wish that I was above it. I am so not. I remember when Gilmore Girls came out with like four new episodes and they called it seasons.
Right.
And at the time I hadn't watched Gilmore Girls in a while. So I kind of remembered it. And when I watched the new ones, it was like really actually years later. And I was like, what is this? They're just kind of like feeding me some old shit, right. They're putting it in like they're putting every character in because they know I want to see that character. And I'm like, this is bullshit. This is just a nostalgic thing. Yeah. And I'm not feeling it. Then I rewatched all of Gilmore Girls. And in that timeline, like as if it's still part of the series, I watched the new stuff and I was like, they got it right. They got 100% right. I was completely wrong. And it's because you have to be in that nostalgia. And I think it's so smart that they put the beginning of the old Top Gun because it's like, hey, remember, you like this. Same thing with Coming to America. That I saw so many times, I didn't have to rewatch it before I saw the new one. But everywhere I keep hearing the new one is so corny. It's so stupid. It's like all nostalgia. It's all ridiculous. And I bought all of it.
Right.
Xerxes and I were howling when you were supposed to howl. We flipped out when, like, you know, salt and pepper came on the screen. And even in my haze of, I know they're getting me, I was like, I'm enjoying this so much. And I know that I'm a basic bitch for enjoying it. I know right. that you're just getting me with the nostalgia. You're getting me with, I remember how this used to be. And I, and you upgraded it, you 2020'd it or whatever year it was. And that's fun to me. And I hate that I fall for it, but if you're having fun, you're having fun. That being said, the 99%, I'm still with you.
That's weird.
I'm still suspect. And everything.
99. It's up there with Casablanca. Top Gun Part 2.
Also, recently saw Casablanca for the first time. How dare you all? How dare you all? I can't believe this is the movie. That's what Casablanca is. This whole fucking time, everywhere I heard people talking about it, it was in a romantic movie. It was compared to romantic stories in the timeline of the movie or the show that I was watching. Sex in the City, When Harry Met Sally. All these people were talking about the love interest in Casablanca. Holy shit. It was just a bunch of Nazis and crazy shit happening. And the
crazy love, shit happening. You know, Nazis.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Nazi shit happened. And that line, all these lines that came from it, I'm like, you people need to stop fucking repeating Casablanca lines. It's so fucked up. First of all, I thought Casablanca was some place in, like, I thought it was a romantic place. Turns out right, it's like the in-between of where you go while the fucking war is happening.
Right.
It's so bananas.
It sounds like Shangri-La or something. Casablanca.
Yes. Yes. It sounds like this is where you go for romance on vacation and then it becomes right. permanent. No, it's not like that at all. Then this, he was looking at you, kid, came from Casablanca.
Right.
He was looking at you, kid, is because he was a grown-ass adult dating a child. So his, he was looking at you, kid, is I'm fucking a barely legal, if legal, I guess it was legal back then. And he keeps saying, he keeps calling her a kid because she is one. Stop repeating that line. Like it's fancy and it's nice. The last line of the movie, which you guys repeat all the time, is this is the beginning of a beautiful friendship. You're using that in a positive way. That was, I get that it's like such a line, but what happened just before that is the guy who was on the Nazi side decided to not be on the Nazi side because it was either him or the Nazi that was about to die. So he's like, fuck it, I'm on your side now. Because earlier in the movie, he said, I'm on the side of anyone who's not going to kill me. And right after that, he was like, you know what? We're best friends now. What? Did you guys watch the movie or are you just quoting it like crazy people?
I never saw it as a, I mean, it must have been, but I never saw it as a love story. I always thought it was, I took it as just a spy movie. I don't really remember. I know they meet at a bar when there's a piano, but I don't really remember it like that.
Oh, rewatch it. Oh, yeah. And that song that keeps playing, it's played not in a nice way. They're playing it to remind each other what fucking assholes they were. I don't understand. I don't. What are you people enjoying about Casablanca?
95% by people. So people like Top Gun better, Henda. So
maybe okay. You're right. Then maybe I stand corrected.
Back in 1986, the original Top Gun movie led to a 500% increase in applications to become naval aviators.
Yeah, but remember that J-Lo movie where everyone applied to be a stripper the day after?
Yeah.
It's fun.
I thought you were talking about that other one where everybody became a maid. Billy Crystal announced, he has a show on Broadway based on a movie he did, Mr. Saturday Night, and he said, I tested positive today. Was taking every precaution possible. Don't think it's not going to happen to you. Stay safe. I don't need the fucking lesson. Just tell me you're not doing a show tonight. Now I'm some asshole. I took every precaution. Yeah, how to take every COVID precaution possible. Number one, perform a show on Broadway twice a day that includes a Q&A. We'll update you as more science comes in.
Yeah, come on. I took That's every not
precaution.
Fair.
And then you blame
No one's
me.
Taking every precaution. That's right. Really hard. Even I am not taking every, and I'm trying, but.
Right, she just went camping. She's not like, you stay in your house, you take every precaution. That's how you take every precaution. You want to have a party? You do it virtually, silent trailers. That's how you take every precaution.
It's true. You can still have fun.
Tomorrow is the silent trailers production meeting, of course.
Yes.
Be part of that. That's fun. And like we said, try OMAD Club for free. Go to keithandthegirl.com/OMAT, O-M-A-T, and you'll use code FOCUS, F-O-C-U-S. All right?
It's such a good group there, by the way.
Yeah.
And if you are going to OMAT Club, you don't have to be on camera. You never have to speak. There's an option to chat at the end that some people take. You could even just listen in on that. You're never obligated to do any of it. And all of the exercises are 1 minute long. And we're talking about exercises like, let's focus on our gratitude for a minute, which I know sounds like from when I was growing up, that was really just hippie shit, completely sure. dismissed. And I really did a lot of research, which is how OMAT really came into existence, about like how to live a better life, let things a little bit more roll over, not roll past you, so that you're not feeling the stress all the time. So it's 2-year anniversary. It means a lot to me. That's why I want people to come for free. I really want you to try it. Go to keithandthegirl.com/OMAT and try a week for free. If you don't like it, I'll give you your money back, but it's free. It's what can trick. I give you back? I want you to try this because it really, really is so simple. And it really has changed my life. So I hope to see you there.
I agree. I like it a lot. All right. That's it. Thanks, everybody. Have a great weekend. KeithandTheGirl.com.